Ah, yes. Welcome back, music nerds, melomaniacs, lovers of liner notes, bass-thumping bohemians, knuckle-dragging drummers, pedalboard pundits, vocal vagabonds, all of you. Greetings, music nerds. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Phantom Power Music Review. This is a listener-supported value cast, right? No ads, no commercials, no sponsors. And if it brings value into your life, please return some value with your time, treasure, or talent. It's not always about the Bitcoin. But I do hope that if this show brings value into your life, that you can give some value back in return. We got a fun show today. It's I'm pushing to get this out by the end of Friday. It's a crazy day here in Nashville. We are going to review three songs today, as we typically do. Song number one by Lazy. Song number two by Anna Treacle. I don't know. And song number three by Nate Jonathan. But let's dive right, and then at the end of the show, we'll go over some boosts and zaps from our last podcast. But let's dive right in. We're going to check out the first track, and the conversation is going to be a doozy. You ready? Here we go.
You aren't alone. All of us that came before are a part of you, because we echo through you, echo. Because we echo through you. Because we echo through you. Because we echo through you.
So that is Echo by Lazy. And let me just back up and tell you how I go through this process. Like, whenever I'm listening to something new, I'm going to listen to the first 5-10 seconds. And if it just doesn't speak to me quickly, then I'm going to turn it off. And one of the surest ways it won't speak to me is if the quality is of the recording is poor, or if I hear an instrument out of tune, or if I hear a singer out of tune, I'm going to immediately turn it off and move on to something else. And then if I like it, if I get all the way through it, then I'm going to listen to it again, but in a different setting. Instead of listening to it in cans, I'm going to listen to it on speakers. And I was really curious about this one because I got all the way through it. And I'm like, okay, that's really not my genre per se, but why was I listening to the whole thing? Like, I was trying to find something about it. It's like, why? Huh. Like, it was, I'm like, is it the key? No. Like, there's nothing spectacular about the key of F, right? Is it the chord change? No, not really. It's 41/65 all the way through. And it's very typical with its cadences and its tones. And it's, I mean, it's poppy, pop, pop, right? I mean, it sounds like, it could be a commercial for American Idol or Pepsi or cheeseburgers for that matter, right? And the lyrics are very basic, very nonsensical and repetitive. Kind of sounds like, I don't know, like Mauve or Charlie Puth. But then when I learned that, as I was researching this song, and I learned that this entire song is AI, then I was like, what? Like, why did I just listen to that whole thing? What about it? Like, it's not really my genre. It's not like, I don't, you know, drive around town listening to pop per se. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be listening to opera or jazz when I'm driving around town. Or if I'm working, you know, working on something in the finance world or something else, I'm 9 times out of 10, I'm listening to jazz or pop. So I was really curious as to why I listened to the whole thing when it was AI, and also, like, whatever impression I had of the song immediately dropped once I learned that it was all AI. And it's probably because I'm a bit of a purist about this type of stuff, right? But I was fascinated. And then I'm like, okay, well, if it's all AI, then maybe I should be talking about AI for the show, for the music review show, right? Now, and I don't mean this sarcastically when I say this. I've mentioned this on a couple of other shows, but I would feel very different about the song if it was back in the late 90s and I was, like, when I was, you know, going to clubs and, quite frankly, doing ecstasy in LA back then. And I've been sober for 25 years now, so I can, you know, I can joke about that. I would feel different about it because it's definitely that type of vibe. But I'm still trying to wrestle with myself as to why I listened to the whole thing, especially now that I know that it's AI, right? So I thought we would talk about that real quickly with respect to what AI is doing to the industry. If you don't know how AI works in the music world, basically, an AI platform will scrub the data of a boatload of sites from like Spotify to Apple or whatever to essentially dive into the process of songwriting and audio direction. And then it'll create an algorithm and start creating chapters and chords and melodies and whatnot, right? And it's a hot topic. It's a controversial topic. The Beatles employed some tactics of AI recently to isolate John Lennon's voice for a track that they put out, the first track they put out in 45 years. But that's not really AI per se, because they already had the source, John's voice. And really what they used it for was just stripping away all of the background noise from the recording. But I'm fascinated by what AI is doing to the industry. There's already been tens of thousands of takedown notices against some of these companies from the major labels like UMG and Warner with respect to copyright infringement. But then again, on the same hand, it's no surprise that these major labels are investing in AI, right? I mean, look at it from the greedy, from their greedy standpoint. Why sign, you know, musicians that you can't control when you can just have a computer create your product or create your burrito, right? Another thing that I thought of was that this is only going to create more garbage in an industry that already has too much garbage, because as I've said many times, there's no barrier to entry into this industry. And unfortunately, this garbage is pretty clean in terms of the quality of the recording. So it's going to make it even harder for those great songs that are rough around the edges in terms of their recording quality. Now, I doubt that it's ever going to replace the beauty of an acoustic instrument. You know, like, you know, think of Joe Martin sitting there, you know, playing his acoustic solo at a gig, or the power of a symphony, or the power of a jazz quartet live, right? But I am concerned for a lot of those heavy synth, EDM, or pop artists, because it's really AI is really a double threat or a triple threat to them, because this is cheaper than hiring musicians. You can obviously have a faster turn time in terms of putting songs out. And in terms of sound quality, you're creating something that's really clean, you know, 96K, right? Really clean stuff. And this is also going to be a huge threat to the, you know, the instrumental musicians, for lack of a better term, the Yannis of the world, the new age ambient creators. I'm really fascinated by all of this. You know, one of the biggest criticisms, of course, is that it lacks the human element. And I do believe that there is a human element to pop and to EDM, especially in the live setting for EDM DJs, when they can really feel the pulse of the crowd. So, you know, it's a weird topic, man. It's possible that there could be a new genre that comes of this, that new instruments are born of this. Especially if you combine AI with virtual reality, right? And it could also create new opportunities for a new type of composer, or give somebody who didn't have the opportunity to be a musician, to, you know, either maybe they didn't have the money, or they didn't have the educational support or the educational background to become a musician. This might enable somebody to begin their journey, right? The truth is, like, you never really know when you're at the dawn of something, like we are with AI, that where it's going to take you, just how far it could go. You know, I mean, are we going to have a cyborg band on stage? That'd be interesting, right? Like a band full of Terminators, you know, imagine that at the end. And then they, you know, they all sound like Schwarzenegger. Thank you. I'll be back. Thank you, Kansas City. Right? Like, yeah, who knows what this is going to do? I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it. One of the most telling signs, of course, and I'll repeat it, is that the large record labels are already suing the creators of these songs for copyright infringement, while at the same time they are investing in the technology. So I don't have an answer on this one. I'm still trying to find out why the hell I even listen to the whole damn thing when it's really not my genre. I don't know. Maybe I got brainwashed because of AI, right? It's a weird one. It's a weird one. The last note that I'll leave, that I'll have on this, is maybe we should just listen to Dolly Parton on this one, because Dolly is quoted recently as saying that AI is the mark of the beast. Maybe Dolly's right. I mean, Dolly's pretty much right about everything else, right? And I should note that here in Tennessee, state legislature actually just passed an act called the Elvis Act, right? ELVIS, Ensuring Likeness, Voice, and Image Security Act. Well, good for them. You know, I mean, at least the state legislature does something right. You know, broken clock is right twice a day, I guess they should say. So that was more of a ramble than anything else, because AI is still up in the air. I don't ever think it's going to replace the beauty of acoustic musicians, of live musicians. But it is scary, and I hope any of the AI companies who put something out that rips off another artist, I hope they get sued and lose everything and end up having to work in a fast food joint as part of their penance. All right, let's move on to the next track. Now, once again, I have no idea how to properly pronounce this artist's name. I know the first name is Anna, and then the last name is spelled T-R-E-A-C-L-E. So I don't know if that's Trickle. Who knows? Knowing me, I probably even screwed up their first name, Anna. But I really enjoyed this song, and I hope you will listen to it twice. Once with your headphones on. Remember, don't listen to it with your earbuds, and don't listen to it in your car because the tires drown out all the low end of the song. But listen to it on your headphones, and then listen to it on your speakers. And then we're going to talk about it. This song is called Lovely Tangles. Here we go. That is Lovely Triangles by Anna. I'm just going to say Trekle. And Anna, I apologize if I screwed it up. Key of G, 125 BPM. Again, I hope you listen to this twice. Once with a good set of cans on, once with your monitors, because it sounds different, doesn't it? Right? This is a great example of how to build a track. Great example. Like, I was intrigued by the wind chimes when it started, And then it completely threw me off when that acoustic riff came in. It wasn't what I expected. Now, he loops it all the way through the track, and it works really well. It's an 8-bar phrase, 4 bars on the tonic, 4 bars on the subdominant, right? For those of you who don't know what that means, when the guitar starts, count to 4 8 times, and for the first 4 times, the first 4 bars, the first 16 beats, he's going to be on the tonic, on the one, on the main chord of the song, which is G, and then on the back 4 bars, they're going to be on the 4, which is the subdominant, all, or if you are in the key of G, that is the C chord. And as the song goes on, there's some really nice secondary descending riffs that are added on the guitar. I really loved how the vocals were doubled all the way through the track with some slight melody additions to it. That is a, you know, when you double the melody like that, you can really, not only do you help make the song bigger, but you also create a nice sense of intimacy, which was very nice. Unconventional drum sounds. They swapped out what would traditionally be like a kick drum pattern with almost like a deep tabla, deep hand drum type of thing. And that was really neat. Very sparse treatment of effects in here, which I found very intriguing, very sparse on the reverb and very tasteful on the echo, especially on the backup parts and some of the sampling and the triggering. Using echo again, really nice, really nicely done. The bass tone, oh, is just perfect. Absolutely loved it, and especially it was the bass tone was beautiful in my speakers. And again, I like my studio monitors here at home. My primary set, I got a set of 5-inch Atoms that I really adore. But I loved the bass tone, and it was just such a great buildup all the way through the track. How, you know, you're building that intensity, you're building that sandcastle, you're building that house, whatever it is. Lovely, just great way to build a track. And a very unconventional stream of conscious progression or pattern or flow throughout the whole track. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. You know, it starts out with that wind chime, the wind type of things, and it ends up like it's a really nice, warm tornado. I thought this was a really wonderful way to exhibit how to properly build a track all the way through. It's a great example of almost like bedroom type production, you know, DIY production all the way through. Just a fantastic track, and I really enjoyed it. Hope you guys liked it too. That is Lovely Tangles. Cool, huh? That's a good one. All right, let's move on to our third and final song of the day before we get to some boosts and some zaps. This one is coming to us from Mr. Nate Jonovan, and this is another great example of unconventional arrangements. And this song is called Safe Some Place by Nate Jonovan on the Phantom Power Music Review. Are you ready? Here we go. Key of A, 128 BPM. Safe Some Place by Nate Donovan. Another great example of an unconventional song structure, right? In the key of A, that everybody, da, 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 I'm going to call that the head, right? I'll use a jazz term for it. So they start on the head based on the one. Doon, 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 doo, doo, doo. They walk down from the four. Love how, as the band goes down, Nate's melody goes up. Nice contradiction there. And then you've got a series of like three or four different breakdown sections before you get back to the head. Now, when you get into that first breakdown section, again, that head riff starts on the one, goes up to the four, and then climbs down. And then what they do for that first breakdown section is they bring everything down to the dominant chord. They bring it all down to the five. And here's what I mean by that. So if they're here on the A, and the band is doing this, now in that first big breakdown section, they go down here. They go down to the E, right? They go down to the five. Notice how, even though it's instrumental, the fact that they move down to that E chord, it really opens up the whole vibe. And there's two reasons why it does that. One is because of just the dominant pull, that there's a reason why they call the five chord the dominant, because you can hear the tension that it creates, and how you automatically want to sorry for the crappy opera there, but you can hear that tension that is created in the dominant chord and how it wants to pull you back to the tonic in this song, which of course is the A. But also think that there's also some legitimate sound engineering physics reasons behind that as well. And the fact that a lot of these guitars are basically tuned to an E, harmonically, there's a lot of pull there, right? When you're doing that, like, man, there's nothing better than an open E chord on an electric. Just the harmonic pull, the tension that it creates. So notice how in the head, it sounds like you're walking down a tight hallway, right? And then when it pulls you into this big E, it sounds like you just walked into a ballroom, like you walked into a larger room of a house. Now, here's another thing to think about. Notice all of the different guitar lines that were happening versus the first head and then into this breakdown section. You have that main riff that's going on one of your ears, depending upon what side you put your headphones on. But then there's also a complementary line that's happening on the opposite side of your brain. And then there's some little sprinkles on top of that as well. So you got three guitar lines in there, and you can really hear it better if you got a good set of cans on. Breakdown section number two is where he says, "I don't think so." And then notice how in breakdown section number three, that it goes to a minor feel in the section where he's talking about fighting your father, you know, like, "I saw you fight your father in the driveway." Notice how that change, it kind of constricts a little bit because they go from major to minor. Really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the synth tone that you hear in the coming out of the guitars as well. Kind of sounds like a Moog. And notice how it has moved from one side of your headphones to the other. Neat trick. Really enjoyed that. Double time section then with no bass. And then they bring the bass back in on the head. Completely unconventional. Love it. Love the fact that this wasn't verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, out. Absolutely love it. We get so lost in the conformity and the commercialism of pop and hip-hop and country that we forget that these songs, like this one and like the one before, Lovely Tangles, can be a stream of consciousness. And I just adored it about the song. It it succeeded in that, as well as pulling on some of the classic punk rock influences here. A little bit of Rancid, a little bit of The Clash, right? And then I will say the whole mix, once again, Nate always does a good job of having the mix reflect the lyrics. It's a very dry mix, very barren, very in your face. You know, all the EQs are good, right amount of compression. But when I say dry, I mean there's not a lot of grease, there's not a lot of reverb on it. And it's very in your face, which is very similar to the lyric topic here. So I another great Nate track, really loved it. Loved the unconventional arrangement, loved the chord choices, loved the mix, the influences from it, and all of the performances in there were great. And all of those extra guitar lines that just bounce back and forth between your ears. Fantastic stuff. Really enjoyed this one. Really enjoyed it. That is Safe Some Place. It's a solo release by Nate Jonovan. All right, shall we do some boosts and some zaps? What do you say, PW?
Let's begin, shall we?
Excellent. So right off the bat, I want to give a huge thank you to a massive boost from A-Joint. I can't tell what show it was from, but it was probably during the music hour this past week. But that's the biggest boost I've seen. And whomever you are, thank you very much for that. That was very kind. Also, a huge shout out to Cannabis Records for a nice boost from you guys as well. 1,000 sats coming in on the Artist Hour. My interview with The Trusted coming in from Chad F., from Dovidas, from Donkey. Thank you guys for that. I'm glad you liked the interview. Dovidas, I'm jealous you got a chance to see him live, man. I can't wait to see him live. Streaming sats from the following people: Vogue Vixen, Ripcord, Borson, otherwise known as Tomas, right? Adam Curry, Chad F. once again, Lightning Store, Tater, Sandy Meyer, Paul Allen, John SBRT. Thank you guys very much for the streaming sats. And then had a lot of streaming sats coming in from some previous Business Hour podcasts. Going to have another Business Hour on Monday. It's going to be spicy. But shout out to user 5381-2360, whomever you are on Fountain. I have a pretty good idea who you are, but I do greatly appreciate all of your streaming sats. And I thank everybody who has been listening and sending suggestions and giving not just their treasure, be it Bitcoin via Satoshis, but their time in terms of listening to the show and their talent with respect to ideas and feedback on this show. Really enjoy doing the show, and I hope you guys enjoy it too. That AI tune, man, that one messed me up. That one absolutely messed me up, right? Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's Phantom Power Music Review. We'll see you Sunday. We got a great artist hour coming up with Marina Ösk from Iceland. Cool? Right on. See you then, guys. Take care.